Pre or RK101 or both. You know, I've been speaking about, and I'd like to return to it over and over again, what's called Saranagati. To me, really means the inner act of just giving yourself to God. Here I am. Use me as you wish. I trust that you take care of me, provide what I need, preserve what I have, as you promise in the Gita. Like that. It's a deep thing, it's not a philosophical thought. Just some verses you learn by heart. And can repeat. And well, you know, I came to that point some years ago now, maybe 5 years ago or more, much more actually, basically for the my whole life, the last 45 years at least, realizing that I'm just depending on you, Krishna, as you know, say. But lately, the past few years, really so, I mean, because when things are just taken from you, or your plans are thwarted, if you're a creative person, you try this, try that, but nope. Means you're not doing the right thing, right? Not what you are supposed to be, destined to do. But that's how you should take it then. There's no other way, really. And when you're a devotee of God, then you can't handle that. It's just, yep, part of the lessons here. And then when you're just, you know, like Draupadi, lift your arms in the air saying, "Hey, Govinda." No, it's up to you. I just give myself here to you. No other shelter. Then guess who takes care of us? Of course. And I have myself experienced that, and still experience almost daily, at least monthly in my life. But yes, Krishna, God, takes care of me. Preserves what I have and give me what I want, what I need, really. And I actually just want what I need. Well, plus help to do some useful service for the Sangitan mission. Need help to do anything there. So yeah. And you know, when you start going that way and it gets real, you know, down there deep in the heart, not just some fine statements you make, you give a Bhagavad Gita or a Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, but you know, here, here am I, and this is life, and it's for real, and I got, you know, so many days left in this body, in this world, and I got something to do here. At least that's how it looks. So, yeah. And I'm not just going to passionately throw myself into what I think is what I should do, but again, going inwards, they're asking for guidance. What should I do today? I don't need to know the whole path here, just know for sure that you lead me so I don't go astray today. Things start happening. And I realized that this is what started happening to me in 1977, when I was 22, and I just did that. God, now you lead me. Because I finally realized, became convinced that, of course, there's a God. What did I think of? Think that all this just came about from nothing by poof. And why did the poof go off? And what was that exploded? And how did it make all this? Ridiculous. That's not science. It's a... it's just some kind of, we call it overthrow. Superstition. So yeah. And the more you kind of realize and accept that fact and let go of those old illusory ideas about reality and yourself, then you start to lift into a higher reality. You develop a sensitivity, well, to, you know, higher levels of inspiration. And well, I could say that things get a little magical, but then people think, you know, you're just away off into la la land. No, you can. And this is really what I've been trying. I didn't even know that this was an attempt, but as it turned out, to show in the book I'm writing now, which is called The Vedic Planetarium something, that there is a scientifically valid and viable and solid, I would say, cosmology and cosmography, cosmogony, I mean, that this whole worldview rests upon, which has been there all along, but which we temporarily lost sight of, but which continue reappearing, no matter what we try, you know. And if something, some understanding within science or within whatever field of knowledge just keeps popping up and appearing wherever you look, sometimes, yeah, challenging and even scattering certain illusions you might have thought were real, then, you know, a scientist accepts that, because that's what science is about. Being ready to accept that what you thought was true wasn't. And here, now it's getting more real. That's what science is to me. Not that you follow the consensus of the gang of people sitting there in their fine academic offices. And shape our world, tell us what the world is, although they don't know. So yeah, as I say this, Saranagati, is powerful. It solves problems. It really helps us to develop as individuals and as a collective, I would say. It's not just there as some fine dogma, doctrine that we're supposed to believe in. But it's about real life, you know. And if something should be worth wasting your spending your time on learning and trying to implement, it has to be something that is really that really works, you know, not just some another fine idea hatched from someone's great brain. So, I mean, here we are, we find old, tried and tested and tried wisdom traditions, knowledge traditions, India, from China, from, you know, these old cultures which have been, strangely enough, I would even say, well, they have been under attack, and sometimes successfully, such as in India, by certain other powers over there in the West, who wanted to just control them and basically plunder them of their resources. Look, they have gold and they have diamonds down there in South Africa, and they have this and that and oil in the Middle East. Yeah. And in Africa, things grow like anything, and they make nice cloth. And look, they have mines, and yeah. So, but you know, just by doing that and then building up a rich, fine, luxurious society with fine airplanes and cars and all that good technology that we can have so fun with. Because you have time to play with inventing funny things, which are sometimes completely actually useless, but just for entertainment. And then even more of, wow, look at that. But it's toys, it's just entertainment for passing time. Because yeah, you got an easy life now. You got all this cheap technology that people over there in the global south work hard to build for you, very cheap. And then fancy clothes also built, tailored there, very cheap, just for you. And oh, are we fine? Aren't we the greatest here in Europe? We, and in America, of course, they are the greatest. We should all know that. If you don't, then phew, poor you, ignorant fool. But you know, again, pride comes before a fall, and I think that's what we're seeing now. And maybe, and I would say that would be the best thing to do now, is to rather start to appreciate those old knowledge traditions, those cultures, and learn from their experience, share the good stuff, which I say is there in all cultures. And if we just do that, try to cooperate, sharing the good stuff rather than trying to do bad to each other, And everyone, you don't need to have some PhD for that, can understand that this is the way to make us all happy and satisfied and taken care of. So yeah. And all this I came into by just thinking of Saranagati. Isn't that funny? Or interesting, actually. And I'm just on my walk here, an ordinary day, 6th of November, 2024. And the sun is now about to go down. I'm a clear sky and I am going home to continue my job, writing my book.